We'll start, okay? Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the men and women in this room. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. Be with us this morning. Allow us to encourage each other. Allow your words to speak and not my words. Allow us to inspire and encourage each other on to good works. Thank you for today. I pray that everyone leaves and gets something, just something that they can use to help change their lives and help them to make progress in their spiritual journey. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody, please be seated. That's right. You know, I titled this, It's Not Over. You know, I just want to share something about myself. You know, I'm going to turn 50 this year. And you know what? You clapping, but I feel discouraged. No, I'm going to be honest with you. And the reason why, you know, you start reaching this age, I started noticing myself wanting to take naps. Now, I never took naps in my life, but I really started to notice it. And even my eyes. You know, sometimes now I ask my wife before I read, I say, sweetie, what does this say? Because I can't see properly, and I have to wear glasses. And I have glasses home, but I refuse to wear them, so pray for me. I need to repent. But sometimes you start thinking about your life and what you've done so far, and you reach a point, and you start to say, you know what? What's going on? Is the PowerPoint on? There we go. And you start thinking about it, and you're like, man, maybe this is it. Maybe it's over. And I want to share something, some scriptures with you guys and some Bible characters that really kind of inspired me. But before we do that, in the heart of mission, all right, let's see if we can get this thing working. Bim, it's on, it's just not clicking for it. All right. Well, I just wanted to share that we went to a trip, my wife and I, to Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah.
And the trip was amazing. There we go. Oh, now it's clicking off. Yeah, let's give it some time. Well, we went there, and when we went there, we had a fantastic time. You know, my family's from Trinidad, and we had an opportunity to go there. And these folks, you know, the special contribution that we give here, these are the folks that we've hired over in the Caribbean that's doing a great work. And we had a chance to sit down with them, and it was so encouraging. This is Norman and Ruth. They lead the Tobago church. If you know something about Trinidad, you have Trinidad, and then you have Tobago. So they lead the Tobago church, and we had a great conversation with them. Just talking about them, what's going on in the Caribbean, how are you guys doing? And it was just so inspiring to know that what we do right here makes so much of a big difference out in the Caribbean. Okay? I'll show you another couple real quick. Okay, this is Nanino and Marlene. They lead the Trinidad church. And you know, the beautiful part about these folks, you know, I was staying with my mom in Trinidad. So as I'm staying with her in Trinidad, the cool part about it is they came and picked us up at my mom's house. And what was really amazing about it, I had an opportunity to introduce my mom to them. Now, guess what they can? They can invite her to church and all that stuff. And I'm just thinking, wow, the power of what we do here in the United States, that I was able to go to a foreign land, introduce somebody to my mom. Now she has somewhere she can go to when she chooses to follow Christ or even go out to service. So, guys, special contribution is so impactful and amazing. Amen. So, guys, let's just clap it up for special one more time. All right. And this is not a special contribution message, by the way. Just want to be clear. All right. But I just had to pick that up. And I wanted to tell you something. You know, it's not over. And the title says persevere. You know, I want to start this with Caleb. You know, Caleb in the Bible, if you read the story, Caleb was one of the spies. It was 12 spies that were sent out. Caleb and Joshua, one of the only spies that were able to reach the promised land because of what they believed. And the thing about Caleb and Joshua, all the spies that went out to this, I'm just giving you a little background to the story, all the spies that went out at the time, they brought a bad report. They said, these people are big, they're big, we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. There's no way we could come in and take that land. Right? But they were the only two to come back and give Moses a good report. Right? So they were only recognized, and they were the only ones to go into the promised land. Now, I want to share the story. Now, Caleb, If you look, Caleb did this at 40 years old, okay? 40 years old, a whole generation passed, and Caleb and Joshua did not enter the promised land. It wasn't there yet. But right now, Caleb is about to get that promised land. He was 40 years old when he made that acknowledgement to Moses. Now, guess what? 45 years pass, and now it's coming to fruition. And the reason why I tell it, it's not over persevere. Do you think Caleb may have had some challenges or doubts during those 45 years? Heck yeah, right? Well, we're going to get into it now. We're going to be in Joshua 14. And I'm going to start this time in 10, verse 10. In Joshua 14, starting in verse 10, the Bible reads, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still strong today and as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Here it is, 45 years later. He's having this conversation with Joshua. Joshua's thinking in his mind, debating with him, well, should I send Caleb out? Caleb convinces him and says, listen, I'm just as vigorous, same amount of energy, same amount of tenacity as I had 40 years ago. I have it right now. And he tells him, look, I'm going to go out there. And of course, he was victorious. I'm going to go out and win the battle. And what did Joshua do? He gave it to him. But there's a key here. I'm going to crawl back a little in Joshua 14:7. And some crawl back. It says, in Joshua 14, verse 7, it says, I was 45 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. According to my convictions. You see, when he was sent out, him and Caleb were sent out. They sent out, but when they were sent out, they saw the same things the other folks saw, but they had convictions, those other folks, but also Joshua and Caleb had convictions. And what stood out most was the convictions Joshua and Caleb had. He says, according to my convictions. Because here's the thing, remember at the beginning I felt like I was getting old and that, man, what's left to do? I started to feel discouraged. I started to look out even in my church and get discouraged. I said, are we all getting old? Where are the young people? What's going on? And I got discouraged. But then I realized something. You see, earlier, I've been around here about 20-something years. I forgot my convictions. Why am I here? It's not over. I need to be still as vigorous, tenacious, and hungry for the Lord's word and to help people as I was back then. You see, Caleb had that. He saw that. It was in front of his mind. But how did he do it? 40-something years. How many of you have been around here 40 years? Anybody? Probably not, right? Jerry, wow, right? And they're still hungry and still tenacious for the Lord's word. They're still hungry and tenacious to help people. It's not over. And the thing is, you got to persevere. It's not easy to persevere. But you see something that stood out, I want you to realize he persevered because he reminded himself of what he saw earlier, 40 years old. He saw that it was a promised land. He saw it was a land of milk and honey that was flowing. And the question I have with you as we see it's not over, persevere, is what do you see? What do you see? Because I had to change my mind. I had to change what I see. I got to say, hey, Reggie, guess what? God is not done with you. You still have more to do. Amen. Hey, Sarah, we may have to go to a foreign country. I don't know. But you know what? My heart is now willing to do it. Because I remember when I became a disciple, what Jesus did for me, and it changed my heart. Amen? You see, we're doing this under our theme. It's called Restore, Renew, and Rebuild. And that's what it's about. You see, we have to have that heart. Let's move forward. It's not over. All it takes is one. This story I want to share about Nehemiah And Nehemiah is one of my heroes. I've been doing this with, as well as my Bible talk and family group. We've been talking about Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is so inspiring to me. The reason being, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to a king. All the people at the time, the Israelites, they were scattered. They were just in terrible condition. Nehemiah saw the same thing all those folks saw of his country, his countrymen saw. The walls were burning down. It was a disaster. But Nehemiah did something about it. All it takes is one. All right, let's go to Nehemiah 1, starting in verse 10. And this is Nehemiah's prayer. In Nehemiah 1, starting in verse 10, Nehemiah gives a prayer. He prays to God. First, his heart is so ravaged. He's in pain. He's hurt at where his countrymen is and where his country is. So he goes to God in prayer. And here's some of the prayer that he said. He says in verse 10, "They are your servants and your people, whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to your prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." And the man he's talking about is the king. Because he was going at this time, he was going to ask the king if he could go back and help start to rebuild these walls. So if he went, think about this, if he went to this king, and the king, remember, he's still like a foreigner in this land. And if he was going to the scene to ask him, he could have been killed. But he was passionate about what he saw. He saw that his people were in need. He saw the condition of the wall, and he wanted to do something about it. So he goes back. So he prays to God. God answers his prayer, and then he starts this venture on rebuilding this wall. One man. And just by the way, he went from a cupbearer, and by the end of this wall, you should read this story, when it was built, he went from a cupbearer to a governor. You see, I want you to think, there's cupbearers in this room. God wants you to take you to a cupbearer to something great. You may have a vision or something on your heart or something you see wrong, because I don't know about you, I always see something wrong. But I'm just scared sometimes to do, because I know it takes work to fix. I'm like, oh man, I don't want to, let me just shut my mouth and just keep doing what I'm doing. Because I know it's going to take work. But when I know it keeps coming back to me over and over again, I know, all right, God is telling me I need to do something about it. Amen? So you got to think about that. We think about the power we have in this room if we work together as one. And I want to show you an example. And when you go into the scriptures in Nehemiah 3, you don't have to go there. I'll just share a little bit. In Nehemiah 3, when Nehemiah was doing this, he had all the folks, all different villages, everybody did their part. Everybody did so. Nehemiah 3. So in verse 3, it says the fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hosanna. That's one column, right? Then in verse 6, the Jeshua gate was repaired by Joiada, son of Messiah, and Meshula, son of Besadiah. These names, Besadiah. And I just wanted to show you everybody did their part because one person decided to do something. One person. But when that one person decided, everybody came together. And sometimes it might be you have to be that one. So I want to ask you a question. If all it takes is one, what's the one thing God put on your heart? There's something there that you're supposed to do. And you don't have to do it alone. You just may be the one just to ignite it, right? Just like a dance floor, if you're in a dance, you know, when you're in a ballroom and you're dancing, everybody's sitting down and they're eating, right? But then that one couple goes to the dance floor. What happens initially after that? Other people start to follow and they start to dance, right? You just have to be that one person maybe. But just think about that for a moment. One thing I want to tell you about is like, last year we did what we call Back Together Again. We did this in a park. It was a great event, and it was right after COVID, and we wanted to find a way to get people together. So a group of us, the Grahams, my wife, and all, came up with this idea to get people together, and it was an amazing event. But it just took one, and then it took others, and everybody came together, and it's becoming great. And if it's a plug for this year's event, you're right, it's a plug. This year, we're doing back together again, right? And we need many people to help out so it can become great. Amen? And, you know, when I look at Nehemiah, and I look at this, a couple of things also stand out. I know it's not over, all it takes is one. But you also have to do something. Like I said, all it takes is one. It takes prayer. He went to God. He had earned, his heart was just yearning. He went to God in prayer. He asked him, God, are you attentive to what I'm saying? And God answered him. When the things we're talking about, I know it said all it takes is one, and you got to persevere. But you got to remember who can change everything. And this is what Nehemiah remembered. He went to God. So when things get challenging and when things are hard and when you want to do that thing, but you hit with so many obstacles, do you go to God? Right? We look at Nehemiah, right? And then we go back and let's look at Joshua for a moment. Joshua was 45 years. Some of us may get married and we've been in church for a long time, right? Some of us may be in a bad marriage and we're here for a long time. And you look at Caleb, and we see he waited 45 years. And when Joshua came to him, he was ready. And sometimes when things change, you got to be ready for that change. Ask yourself, are you ready? If it comes to you now, are you prepared to answer? If it comes your way right now, that change, are you prepared to answer? Hey, if somebody's coming in the room and you're looking to get married and that ring's there, are you ready to take that ring? Right? Think about it. If your spouse is willing to repent and they treated you wrong all these years and they come back to you, are you willing to receive it? Think about that for a second. You got to be prepared, and the only way to be prepared is to go to God, to persevere, and remember, the person that it takes is going to be you. You got to be ready. Amen? Good. All right. It's not over. Got to be obedient. Obedience is key. Before I begin, I want to share this story. This is a real story. Husband and wife been together 20, 30 years. The wife finally gets fed up. The reason why she's fed up, this man did everything under the sun to her. She was upset and she said, you know, this is it. This guy has never done the right thing with me. So she goes to her attorney. She goes to her attorney and says, listen, I want to make him pay. He has treated me wrong all these years, and I am disgusted. I want to make him pay. Her and the attorney, they devise a plan. They come together with this one and say, oh, here's what you're going to do. You're going to give him everything he wants for the next 90 days. She's like, well, I already give him everything he wants. He said, no. You got to give him that. She said, that too? She said, trust me. Give that to him too. For those of you who don't know, then that's good you don't know. But for those who do know, you know what I'm talking about. So what ends up happening, she does it. 30 days pass by. And she's into it. She's getting excited. So she's in contact with the attorney. The 31st day comes by. And all of a sudden, he touches and he says, you know what? Thank you. Can we go to counseling? She's looking amazed at counseling. 31st day, they go to counseling. Everything's all right. The attorney touches base with her on the 35th day. And she's like, yeah, it's going good. He's falling right into the trap. So on the 50th day, he throws her a surprise birthday party. So she's like, what's going on? So then come around, right? They reach up to the 90-day mark. The attorney calls her. He has a server ready to serve him the paper. And he calls and says, look, we got him. And she responds, got who? He's like, your husband. Remember, he treated you wrong. He done all this stuff. She turns to him and says, you got to be kidding me. This man's in so much pain. He has changed so much. I am not going anywhere. And the attorney was like, why? What happened? What did you do? This man has been the nicest man since the last 90 days. I don't know what happened. And the problem that she realized, it wasn't that he changed. It was that she changed. She changed, and it triggered a change in him. And guess what? It all end up working out. But why do I say that? This is going to help us, right? It's not over. Be obedient. You see, sometimes we're in positions where things just don't change. And sometimes it's God that wants us to surrender and to submit to his authority. You know, sometimes we want to get out of a problem too fast. And God wants us to sit in it so it can marinate and so it can cultivate and change our hearts. You know I'm guilty of that a lot. Sometimes I get, how many of you get fed up with people sometimes? I know this is a church, but you ever get fed up with your brother and sister? But when I do that, I realize I'm not loving them deeply enough. And I realize that God has just taken me to new levels in my love. Right? And that's the submission and surrender, like that woman's story I shared about. Let's go ahead to Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews 5. You see, remember I told you I was getting older, right? And I told you that I may need glasses, right? But bear with me. Repentance is sweet. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 7. All right, in Hebrews 5, starting in verse 7, the Bible reads, during the days of Jesus, life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because his reverent submission, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. You know, Jesus was the Son. He was the Son of God. We all know that. And he did so much for us on this earth. He was the Son. He did everything. He preached. He taught. He was the great example. But it said he learned the most through his pain, through his suffering. And he said he offered up prayer and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard. And this is why he was heard, it says here. Because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And the reason why I touch on as we think about Jesus, we think about all the great Jesus. He was the Son of God. Everything was easy. But Jesus spent a lot of time on his knees. If you remember at the cross, he was telling to his father, he didn't want to do it, right? He prayed, what, 3 times before he went to the cross. But he was heard from his reverent submission. There is something right now that we need to be obedient to, all of us, that God wants, and guess what? It's going to come through reverent submission to Christ. What do we have to surrender? What do we have to submit to? So guess what? So we can become great. And because of that surrender, because of that submission that Jesus did, he became perfect. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. He became our source because of what he did. He showed us the perfect example. And it's about what we do with it. That's the example, and he has to suffer. Do you think we would have to suffer here on earth? You see, for me, I always want things to be great. I always like the good days. I like when things are going well. You give me a bad day, I am pissed off for like the next week. But that's the problem. God is teaching me through that. It's whether it's high, where you're on your mountaintop, whether you're on your hill, or whether you're on your valley, you gotta be surrendered. That surrender is what got us all in the room today because of what Jesus did. Amen. And just remember the story of that lady. I don't think any woman right here would put up what she did, but she did it. She thought she would be getting back at her husband. But little did she know, it would change his heart and change her heart as well. Amen. So guys, that's what I have for you today. Just a recap real quick. It's not over. Persevere. All it takes is one, and be obedient. Amen. All right, let's go. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much this morning for what you teach us, what you open our eyes to. Help us to still be fervent. Help us to remember Caleb. Help us to remember Nehemiah. All it takes is one. But more importantly, help us to remember Jesus, how he surrendered on that cross. We pray for the body that was broken as well as the blood that was shed. And as we reflect back, help us to live changed lives for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.